Good morning. So, it's been a very busy week, and you know, I'd never read a sermon before, and finding the time was difficult, so I want to explain how I slowly pieced together my thoughts. It was basically at work when I drive a truck at work. I have to deliver stuff from one side to the other. And while I'm waiting for a forklift driver to unload me or load me, I have a few minutes. And within those few minutes, I was dwelling and rather enjoyed finding about this loose thought that I have and forming a thought, a coherent thought of it. So please bear with me as I was writing this in between minutes at work, and then when I get home, I tried, but sometimes life is exhausting. After you spend a whole day at work, and then, you know, having family, and then doing dinner, and then sitting down, it gets tiring, and trying to find the extra minutes to fill this out. So please bear with me as I go along today. But I want to open with a prayer. So bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you again for a beautiful Sabbath in this beautiful weather. Thank you for our church family, our family, and our bonds that we have developed here, that we continue to develop with each other. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, I have a thought. Who here identifies as an animal? Like, you know, I'll open up because I identify as a skunk. My wife will attest to that. Anyone else has an idea of what, you know, because the animals are an ambassador to the animal kingdom. And we can relate to sometimes one of them. Sometimes you see yourself, you know, as a wolf as we grow up. Like, I like the wolves, like how they look. Or, you know, an orangutan. Or lions, or cats and dogs. This is why we have animal companions. Well, in context, there is a lion that was in the Middle East during biblical times called a Asiatic mountain lion. That was, when they referred to lions, that's what they referred to. And this lion, sorry, I don't have slideshows, is a smaller than what you consider an African lion by several feet, by several hundred pounds. These lions would range about 200 to 300 pounds and about 4 to 5 feet tall, as opposed to a lion that we think would be, oh, I don't know, 6 feet tall, from 3 to 500 pounds, depending on. So these are a mountain lion that's was prevailing in the Middle East. Now, they've had, you know, they had a grayish skin coat, and they had a fold underneath the length of them, an unusual fold, and their manes were less. You can see it, you can tell it's a lion, there's no doubt about it, but their mane was less than an African lion. So the ears were really cute. They stick up out of there. And unfortunately, well, fortunately, depending on how you think about this, they are on the verge of extinction, and they were considered extinct in the Middle East. They were found, and right now there's a small branch of 800 left in the world, and they're in India right now. Now, these territorial ranges, they're huge. They're about 50 to 75 square miles of range. That is considered territorial. That is for one lion. They are loners. So these lions, if they do form bonds, there's going to be two types. The males and females are basically separate. The males might form a pride of three, maybe. It's been observed. But for the most part, these lions are loners. As for the females, they might establish a pride of up to 18, mostly with other females and with their cubs. But they only get together for romantic purposes, and then they're off again. Now, sheep in the Bible, during the time, there are several types of sheep, but two stand out. Asiatic mountain goat, or mountain sheep, and a fat-tailed sheep. Those are the two ones. The Asiatic, and I'm saying this wrong, was considered a wild sheep that you can still find out there today, and it is a very impressive specimen of a sheep. They have the big curly horns, and they have a body of a tall goat, but they definitely look like a sheep. And the fat-tailed sheep, which is referenced many times in the Bible, has a tail it gets really fat. It looks like an extra on their back ends and their hindquarters. And that is used quite a bit for food. Anyways, so looking into those animals and getting context of what the ancient people had to deal with in the Middle East as they go around. Now, these lions have an amazing trait. Lions, in general, are a symbol of strength and courage. Lions are frequently used in scripture to represent strength, courage, and majesty. And those are often admirable traits, reflecting their status as the king of beasts. They illustrate God's might and the bravery required of his followers. For example, David encounters lions while protecting his flock, but he demonstrated courage and God's empowerment and was able to battle those lions and drive them from the flock. Lions also symbolize God's authority and power. Of course, in Revelation 5:5, Jesus is called the Lion of Judah, signifying his dominion over creation, sin, and evil. The imagery portrays Jesus as a conquering king capable of triumphing over adversaries and opening the scroll of the seven seals, emphasizing his ultimate authority and ultimate victory. Now, lions can also represent danger, destruction, and evil. Peter warns that Satan prowls like a roaring lion seeking to devour, illustrating the threat of spiritual attack and the need for vigilance. Proverbs use lions metaphorically to describe wicked rulers or destructive forces, highlighting the dual nature of the lion as both a symbol of power and evil. Daniel in the lion's den demonstrates God's protection and faithfulness when we're in our midst of lions beyond our control. God's power to a lion's confidence authority is reinforcing his trust and his protection. So when we have the Lion of Judah, God is the ultimate form of the lion, which he is going to devour evil once and for all when everything's said and done. Lions in the Bible carry rich, multifaceted symbolism. In the Bible, at times, danger and destruction, strength and majesty. Lions are frequently used in the Old Testament to describe the tribe of Judah to liken like a lion. They emphasize leadership and dominance over Israel and other tribes. Conversely, I'm repeating myself. What does a lion represent in the Bible for when we exchange that human traits? What do we mean when I said, you know, I might be a skunk? Everyone can figure out what that means. But what does it mean when someone says, you know what, I am a lion? What does that mean? The lion analogy can be a potential, has positive aspects of it that we praise as a society, and a potential negative interpretation, such as aggression and arrogance, are traits that might seem like positive for mistakenly for courage and leadership. For example, facing adversary. If someone describes themselves as a lion, even when faced with seemingly insurmountable odds, I met the challenge with a lion's heart, never giving up. That sounds like a fantastic ideal. When leading a team or a project, I led the project with the roar of a lion, inspiring my team to achieve remarkable results. Again, that sounds great. Like a lion, I am protecting others. Like a lioness guarding her cubs, she fiercely defended her friends from injustice. Lions exhibit strength despite facing hardships. A lion-like resilience allowed me to persevere through the task. And then commanding respect. I am a lion, so therefore, you give me respect. It is an unwavering self-belief in oneself, being able to control and govern the situation, which sounds great in our society, but it has flaws. The problem with that is that there's no room for God when you're a lion. When you're facing adversity, God's asking us to depend on Him as the one who will take care of it for us. The challenge, if you feel like I am a lion, then you have no room for God to fight the battles for you like He said He would. Leading a team, God is the one who's supposed to be leading us. If you're a lion, then you have no room to put God first. It's what I can do, what I will do. And as a lion, you're going to protect others, but that doesn't happen. You'll end up destroying people's spiritual battle in God while you proclaim yourself a leader. And the strength, you won't be humble as a lion. You have no room for being God, because you're looking at all the things that I can do. And of course, commanding respect as a lion, God is the only thing that needs to be able to be commanded. So when you refer to, it's back to what I can do, and there's no room for God with that in your life. And also, with being a lion, it means you're brave. It means you're brave and courageous, and you're ready to go head on full in a world that is timid and cowardly. And you will make the choices for yourself of what you want to do. There is no room for God in that. Because you might head a task on perfectly, but God is asking to depend on Him and get His advice. But as a lion, you don't seek God's counsel. As a lion, with traits like that for everyone, people are willing to fight. As a lion, you are willing to devour and fight and get what you want. It's amazing that you want to pick fights. You want to you want that thing. You want that food. You want that protection. And if you don't do it, then who's going to do it for you? That's a mentality that God asks us not to have. Being self-reliant is what, with the illusion of making you happy. Bravery to ignore other successes and other people's successes and finding your own. Lions are a loner in a big scheme of things. They, with their territorial, will devour anything that they would find for a meal. And if you're a loner, God's asking us not to be. He's asking you to walk with him. But you can't do that if you're a loner, because there's so much ground that needs to be covered. No matter how crazy things are around you, you still need to see yourself as part of a pride, a team, a family, or a group, or an association, or community. Whatever you might call it, leaders have to deliberately assemble their group, small or large, that will assist them in their, if I may use the word, survival. If you're a lion, you are depending on your own survival, not God's, because God is our shepherd. You're excluding strength when you connect with the lion's spirit. The strength isn't just physical. It resides with inner resilience and determination. When you're a lion, there's courage. You face your fears without hesitation and step outside your comfort zone. When you're a lion, you're confident that you can conquer whatever ability that is before you. All those leaves no room for God. Those are all admirable traits if you do not want God in your life. Lions are a symbol of strength. Lions are a symbol of leaders. Lions are willing to fight. Lions are considered brave. Lions are part of a warrior spirit, inspiring individuals to face challenges fearlessly. The sound of a lion can be heard around 5 miles away. Big cats, lions, are considered apex predators, and they're asserting dominance over their territory. And that can be a hazard when you don't have God in your heart, because when you be careful, when people around lions, they don't care about your spiritual walk with God. They just want you to follow them because they are the leader of a pack. Now, lions, when people identify themselves as lions, they just leave no room for God in their lives. And so you need to be careful when someone identifies themselves as such. Now, I am asking you to identify as sheep. Now, sheep has a really bad context nowadays, and I think that's deliberate by Satan. Calling someone a sheep means they follow others without thinking for themselves, adopting popular opinions, trends, or instructions without questioning them. The label implies blind passivity, blind obedience, and a lack of independent thought. Now, that's not what sheep are. They have done recently realized that sheep are a very an emotional animal, just like us humans. The sheep metaphor draws in a simple image, a flock moving together, each animal doing what the one in front does. The word sheepy, a blend of sheep and people, appear in the 20th century described, perceived blindly following an ideologically or a leader without questioning those in power. It has gained traction in the past 30 years, 40 years. People are going to say, wake up, sheepy, urgent to reject the mainstream beliefs. Since then, the terms has become a fixture across political spectrum, saying that, dismissing that you need to be a lion and not a sheep. Conformity, when you lack knowledge about something, you look to others who seem better informed. If you're a sheep, this type of conformity is stronger in people who will lower self-confidence or high uncertainty about their own beliefs. This is what's considered to be a sheep. Now, comparing the two, being a sheep doesn't sound all that appetizing. You know, when you have the confidence of a lion, or you have someone who calls you a sheep, It's easy to conform all weaknesses, but research tells us a different story on how sheep actually behave. Sheep have a distinct personalities. Research testing lambs individually and in groups identify four clear temperament types. Exploratory lambs that approach new objects and vocalize frequently, basically the very loud sheep. Very vocal sheep, the prey sheep. There's the freeze lambs that stay still and watch from a distance, are hesitant. There's active lambs that move constantly and attempt to escape, and a more moderate group that fall in between extremes. A flock is not a collection of identical followers. It contains cautious individuals. It contains bold ones. It contains very loud ones, and everything in between. Sheep do move in groups, but their social structure is more nuanced than it appears. Within a flock, sheep form strong associations based on family ties, age, and personality with other sheep. Ewes stay close to their own lambs. Family groups cluster together, while non-family members maintain loose bonds with others. Social contact is driven primarily by physical proximity. The higher resolution tracking technology has revealed that these associations are highly uneven, not the uniform blob of identical behavior the metaphor suggests. So being part of a sheep is the bonds that we establish with one another. Their flocking behavior is also a sophisticated predatory defense. Sheep have a field vision of between 270 and 320 degrees, compared to a roughly 155 degree in humans. Their rectangle pupils give them panoramic peripheral vision, even with their heads down while grazing. They can see in nearly every direction. Staying in group multiplies this surveillance. Each animal contributes its own wide-angle scanning, making it extremely difficult for a predator to approach undetected. What looks like a mindless following is actually a coordinated survival strategy, which is a good point, because if we're going to be sheep for God, we need to watch out for each other, for the dangers, and it's easier to do when you have bonds with one another. We can lift each other up. Sheep with individual personalities, distinctive combinations of traits that are consistent over time, and the map readily into the personality dimensions we recognize in humans. Boldness, shyness, playfulness. When they behave collectively, when they're moving in a herd, this survival skill is designed to protect the group versus popular beliefs about them lacking common sense. One thing I discovered about sheep is that they remember faces. Sheep and lambs remember and are particularly adept at spatial navigation, such as working through a maze. They also learn to discriminate between various flavors and generalize knowledge on the basis of flavor. So they can know what grays the food that is presented in front of them, and they develop a sense of preferences for what they eat. And they can identify different edible plants in order to self-medicate when they're not feeling well. Sheep can perform executive cognitive tasks that are an important part of the behavioral repertoire. When it comes to reading emotions on a face, sheep, like humans, prefer to look at other sheep faces. They are calm rather than ones that are frightened or startled. All this facial acumen in sheep has led one researcher to suggest that does not open up the possibility that sheep, this does open up possibility that have much richer emotional lives than we would give them credit for. Now, sheep, like many other animals, experience complex emotions and can communicate with other sheep with their faces and sounds. The mother-child attachments, there are none intense as the bond between a mother and a child. In nature, lambs are weaned at 6 months old, but in farms, the ewes are separated from their births, lambs at the tender age of 1 to 2 months. Unfortunately, this leaves out a high-pitched vocalization, pace, and even uncomfortableness between the two. And studies suggest that the separation from such an early age has negative psychological aspects of lambs that are separated between the mother and the child. So a sheep is not a mindless creature. It has complex emotions. And it goes along saying that we need, if God is asking us to be a sheep, that we can recognize that. Play is a reliable indicator of a positive mood and emotions. Mammals and sheep play. They're considered very playful creatures. Sheep can be shy or bold, as I said before. They can be leaders. For instance, decisions about foraging need to be made. The sheep, who know where the good stuff is, will lead other sheep there. These findings show that sheep, like other animals, cannot be characterized by a single dimension, but rather a slow individual difference across a number of dimensions. Now, when sheep form friendships, they form bonds into together. Are not meant to live in social isolation. And when they are do isolated, they exhibit pacing and chewiness and destructive behavior. But those dissipate when they're reunited with the herd. Now, sheep are defenseless. Sheep require a caretaker, a shepherd, for things in this world. Sheep have no sense of direction. This is why we need a shepherd, because we will do our own thing in every direction. There was a story I read where a sheep lost from the herd for over 10 years. And when they finally found it, it was still alive, but its coat was massive. And it couldn't lift its own self up. It was hundreds of pounds of wool all the way around it. And they were able to get it back to the herd, and it's been doing quite well. Sheep, when fallen, can't get up without help. So there's a direct correlation there that when we have fallen, we're going to need a little extra help with either bonds from ourselves or bonds from the Creator. And sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. They are very emotional, and they can hear the sounds of the shepherd when he's near. Even if he doesn't say anything, they recognize the sounds and his voice. And when they're feeling anxious or distressed and they hear the shepherd, all that goes away. Sheep are not meant to carry burdens. Can you imagine a sheep being a pack mule to and from canyons, going up and down? You'll never see a sheep carrying a pack on their back, as other animals are carrying things, but not sheep. They weren't meant to carry a load. That would be crushing. Now, in Isaiah 53, all of us are like sheep. We have wandered away from God. All of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has placed in his servant the sins of us all. And in Jeremiah, the leaders of my people are like shepherds who don't have any sense. They don't ask the Lord for advice. That's why they don't succeed. And that's why their whole flock is scattered. In Ezekiel, the king says, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will look after them. And also, as the Ezekiel, a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, and I will look after my sheep. I will save them from all the places where they are scattered on a dark and cloudy day. I myself will take care of my sheep, and I will let them lie down in safety, announces the Lord. You are my sheep, you belong to my flock, and I am your God, announces the Lord and King. So when I'm asking you is to identify as a sheep in all things, because we have to depend on God in all things. Because when we face adversity in our lives, if we're a lion, we don't need God to be able to challenge those tasks. If we're a sheep, we have to be dependent on those adversities. How do we face insurmountable odds as a sheep? In Exodus 14, Lord will fight for you. Just be still. And then Jude 7, and Gideon's army is a good example of how the Lord will fight for us. God said, Gideon, hey, go fight them. And he took all the people he could find, and God said, that's too much. You don't need that. And Gideon's, are you sure? And he says, yeah, you still got too much. Nope, too many. Nope, get rid of them. Nope. And what looked like a very small crew, God was able to win that battle, not Gideon. David and Goliath. God was able to win that battle too. And then Jewish folklore, David and the spider. That's one of my favorite stories of David. He is running away from Saul. And he asked for an army to defend himself. If David was a lion, then he would have been able to stop Saul then and there. But no, God sent him a spider. And so he hid in a cave, and he prayed for help, because he knew the soldiers, Saul's soldiers, were right there. And a spider came down and made a web in front of the cave he was hiding. And when the soldiers came, they said, nope, can't be anyone in there. That web is undisturbed. Why would anyone be in that cave? And that's how God protects us, is by sending the smallest thing. All we have to do is be still. Knowing to have to listen to God's voice and knowing his voice, he is our shepherd. As a sheep, how do you lead? Well, we lead by staying together and by staying close to the shepherd, which is God. That's how we lead. We can't lead others till salvation. I can't lead you to salvation. The pastor cannot lead you to salvation. God can lead you to salvation. Don't let other people fool you. Only God can save. We are helpless. Sheep are helpless. So we need to ask the Lord for advice and command. And one of the verses which I have here is that we need to ask God for advice in all things. And when we stop asking him for advice in all things, bad things happen. Israelites know that. They stopped asking, and time again, God has reprimanded them. You need to ask the Lord for all advice in all things. Wisdom and power belong to God. Advice and understanding also belong to him. Job 12:13. So as a sheep, you need to get your wisdom and understanding from God. So even if it's that simple, what should I have for breakfast? It wouldn't hurt to ask God. He might not give you an answer, but he might. He said, don't eat that thing. It might be better if you do this other thing, because I know what's going to be happening today. We have a vague idea of what's going on. He has a grand detailed plan of what's going to happen with who, what, where, and why. If you're a lion, you're not going to be led by God, because you're not going to be wanting to. If you are a sheep, you have no choice. Either you are led and be willingly led by God, or there's destruction. As a sheep, how do you protect others? We can't. We cannot protect others. We are defenseless against the hazards of this world. But what we can do is make bonds and flock together. We can use our vision and our voices to protect. But as far as the threat goes, God is going to protect us. Being brave as a sheep. This is a complicated one. Sheep are brave by being smart to avoid the threats. Now, being brave as a sheep means speaking up and saying yes to God. That is harder than it can be. Because when I got the call Sunday to see if I was interested in doing this, I wanted to say no. I wasn't ready because I knew. And so I said yes because I wanted to be a brave sheep. And it's something like that. Doesn't seem much, but it's a practice of faith. Because we are surrounded by things, and by forming bonds with each other is the only way we're going to make it, and being, because we as a collective can stick next to the shepherd. By being a sheep, we have to be completely rely on God for everything. This is by his design. He has called us his flock many a times. This is how we have faith. Faith is having a relationship with God, and having a relationship with God is faith. Now, that's easier context when you think yourself as a sheep. Because what he's going to lead you to waters. As he's leading you, he's leading us to a better place, because the whole world's on fire. And as we are going from one place to another, we'll see a meadow, a beautiful meadow with a nice little drinking area. And we're like, how come we can't stay there? He knows that's going to be destroyed. And if we're down there, there's no way out. And he's leading us to a place that will protect us from the things that are going to consume us spiritually in this world, if we are willing to be sheep. And this is how we can practice our faith, is by asking him in all our decisions. It's by seeking him like a shepherd. It's by forming bonds with each other and bringing us together. Being made dependent on God and practicing your faith in little ways. Asking which direction I can go today, left or right. It seems small. It seems very trivial, but not to God. What you're trying to do is practice that muscle of having faith in God, being able to go about your day. Because when things get toxic out there, you not are going to have the solutions or the answer. And when he talks to you in that small voice that he has, that quiet voice, if you're a sheep, you know it's him. And he'll tell you where to go. But the more you practice it, that louder that voice will become. And that is how we practice our faith, is by being a sheep. What would a sheep do as spiritually with God when you need help? Now, if our leg is infected, of course, we need to go see a doctor. A prayer will help, but we need to form bonds with those that can actually heal us physically. But don't discount God, because he's like, don't go see that doctor, go see someone else. Go see Reuben. But learn to practice your faith as a sheep, and because he calls us his flock time and time again. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Angels didn't go to lion trainers. They went to shepherds. Why is that? Because we are his sheep, and he is the shepherd. Practice hearing his voice as a sheep. That there are sheep who choose not to. If you're a lion, you have no reason to listen to God's voice because you're just too busy doing your own thing. You need to be able to hear him because God was around, but when he talks, you should be able to hear him. Being a sheep in God's flock is meaning complete dependence on him, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Now, there is an image that I couldn't find in the Bible, but it is roughly mentioned in Isaiah. It's the picture of the lion and the lamb lying down together. We're all familiar with that picture. I have seen it hundreds of times. But that picture is not in the Bible. It doesn't describe a lion and lamb lying together. I'm unfamiliar of the origin, but it makes sense. And researching this, I have come to the conclusion that the lion in that picture, for me, can represent many of things, and there is God. God's authority, and he is resting with the lion, which represents us. Because when we get to heaven, the rebellion will be over. And we get to rest with God in heaven. That's what that picture represents to me. It's not that carnivores and omnivores are going to be happy together. It is the symbolism of God and his great power that will consume evil as a lion, and us being sheep completely dependent on him. Now, I don't know how I did on time, but that's all I got. So, let's have a word of prayer, and I guess I'm done. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for our congregation. Thank you for our church. Please help us be guided by your Spirit and your voice as our shepherd, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the fields that you will take us to and lead us to. And give us a humble heart to identify as many things, but more importantly, as a sheep in your flock. Thank you, Lord, for what you have provided for us. Amen.